Some passengers are actually cashing in on the TSA backlash. Delta Airlines wants to make sure the public knows it is the government and not them. So the airline is now offering passengers a possible refund if they booked a ticket but bail out on the trip due to the TSA groping. To our freedom fighters, Fox Business Network stocks editor and my good friend Elizabeth McDonald, EMAC, radio talk show host Leslie Marshall, and Reason Magazine senior editor Jacob Sullum. Jacob, to you first. Are you surprised that the free market is actually going to play some kind of a role here? The government interferes between private carriers and their customers at the most critical juncture, and the carriers say, you know what, if the government prevented you from getting here, here's your money back.
No, it doesn't surprise me very much. I'm not sure how much it's going to actually end up costing Delta, because I'm not sure what share of tickets are non-refundable to begin with. It would only affect the ones that are non-refundable. Probably that's a little bit higher during the holiday season than it would otherwise be. And so you're talking about some percentage of all tickets that are non-refundable, and then a certain percentage of those people who are going to be put off enough by the new security procedures that they actually choose not to fly. Well, so I think it probably is not very much money to them, but it helps them put a good face on this. Right. As you said, they can say it's not our fault, it's the government's fault.
It's the government's fault. This really is an anomaly, Leslie, isn't it? Because if the government makes you late for a flight, you can't sue the government. If the TSA agents were private and they made you late for a flight, you could at least get into the courthouse door. So question, should the government be protecting private property and telling the airlines who to allow on their planes, or should the airlines be making those decisions?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Judge, because as you know, right now they may be offering on Delta to reimburse people who don't want to be groped or be exposed to radiation. But how much are they going to be paying if somebody has a bomb on one of those planes and all their family members want to sue the airline in the future? And Delta today has a bigger problem in the luggage department, as we saw at Logan. So, Judge, I'll tell you, I don't like my civil liberties infringed upon. And as badly as over the weekend when I flew to Chicago and I begged nobody would grope me.
All right. I understand Delta is going to do this on a case-by-case basis, that this is not going to have anything to do with the price of the ticket that you bought. So I guess you're going to have, EMAC, you're going to have to demonstrate to Delta, I was ready to go, but they put me on a line, and by the time I got to the head of the line, the plane had left.
Yeah, it's my understanding. I think my read of it is you would have to have some kind of a medical condition that would have interfered with the TSA pack down, and then you couldn't make the flight. So, and I agree with Leslie, I want to be safe. I've been patted down. I want to be safe. But the question is, will other airlines follow along and doing what Delta does? What Delta's doing is just basically good PR. I think this whole issue goes away after the holidays. But the more important issue is, what happens to the TSA? Does the TSA eventually get unionized by the AFL-CIO?
All right, I want to go to your field especially. What happens to the airline stocks, to the value of the airlines, to their capitalization, when the TSA materially interferes with their ability to put customers on, no matter how noble the TSA's motivation may be? I question its nobility. I question its motivation. It's clearly unconstitutional. But put that aside. What does it do to the stocks?
It's immaterial. What matters more if passengers, innocent passengers, are bombed out of their seats. And also, of course, jet fuel always causes airline stocks to swing wildly. But again, we have to talk more about what happens to the TSA. Will it get unionized by the AFL-CIO? Will that be a hindrance to airline relations over there in the airports when they're already under severe duress?
Jacob, in the past 2 days, the TSA has taken the shirt off a six-year-old boy and patted his chest, has cut the urine bag of a colostomy patient, has destroyed the implant in a woman's breast. How much farther do we have to go before we become a nation of sheep?
I'm not sure, but I do like your proposal of making this the airline's responsibility, because what that means is they have to weigh the cost in terms of lost business on both ends, both in terms of making the flight secure, but also in terms of humiliating people and inconveniencing them and adopting policies that impose a great burden on customers without much payoff in terms of security. The federal government doesn't have to worry about the other side of the equation. They will impose as much of a burden on people as they can get away with. They don't have to worry about losing customers.
Leslie,
so
before
like
the break, should the government
making the profit motive work for us?
Got it.
Sorry.
I was wrong. The father of the child took the shirt off at the request of the TSA. But should government be doing this? Should government be humiliating people? Isn't there a better way in a free society to retain individual dignity and respect, Leslie Marshall?
Well, I'll tell you, Judge, this happened a long time ago. We may be talking about it now, but I have witnessed kids' little blankies and teddy bears being taken away, and I'm a mom of two toddlers, and I'll tell you, my fist will end up in somebody's face. You take my kid's blankie or
pull up his shirt. To hear that.
There's a smarter way to do it.
Before we get to the smarter way of doing it. McDonald, Sullum, Marshall, stick with us. What happens in Ireland doesn't stay in Ireland. If you think the bailout there isn't going to affect America, think again. Our freedom fighters are back on this next. After great pressure from the European Union, Ireland is accepting a bailout of up to $100 billion. A bailout with strings attached that the Irish are not happy about and don't want. This has my freedom fighters wondering, should the European Union, which compromises the sovereignty of these nations, exist? Should it be bailing out? Should it be making these demands? Back with me now are Emac, Marshall, and Sullum. Emac, to you first. Should the European Union be, let me step back. Who is being bailed out? Is it the government of Ireland? Or is it the banks?
It's more like the banking sector. And let's face it, what's going on here is that the entire European Union has ridden the back of Germany for a very long time. The AAA rating of Germany has been essentially lent to these very fiscally unstable countries. And the danger here, Judge, is this, and that is that Germany, the courts in Germany are already pressuring the government, saying, look, these countries have been fiscally unstable. They have broken the Maastricht Treaty, which launched the European Union in 93.
Right, right.
The no bailout clause has been violated. We may push Germany to get out of the EU. If that happens, then you will see a bank run of massive courts.
Okay, so
I'm not saying it will happen.
Your sources are suggesting, your intellect is advancing the idea that the rich countries would leave the EU.
The fiscally prudent ones.
Or, better phrase, obviously.
Yeah.
The fiscally prudent countries would leave, not the fiscally imprudent ones.
Correct.
That want to receive this cash.
That's right. They would get the loans from France, the Netherlands, and Germany, which has been basically very upset.
Jacob, any lesson for us to learn here? Stated differently, might there be some money from Ben Bernanke's bank in this bailout, and we won't know about it unless Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich can get the Fed audited?
Well, I think, first of all, we should be careful about feeling superior to the Irish or to Europeans generally, given the state of our budget. Their rules say that they can't have a total debt that exceeds 60% of GDP. Ours currently is about 100% of GDP. And they say their deficits can't be more than 3% of GDP. Ours now is nearly 11%. So we're doing quite poorly by those standards. With the EU, you get a tremendous benefit in terms of the freedom of travel, freedom of trade.
Right.
You may also get some benefit from rationalizing laws across a large territory, if they're good laws. The problem is that if you have bad policies that are writ large, and you undermine the advantages of federalism, then you can get bad policies that are imposed upon a big territory that people can't escape.
Leslie.
Things like the EU-wide ban on smokeless tobacco, or the EU-wide dictates on the sizes of tomatoes and shapes of tomatoes and that sort of thing.
Got it.
So I would say there's a trade-off there.
Well, I thought our government was bad. The EU was actually dictating the size of tomatoes. That would seem to affect the law of physics. I would hope that governments would recognize that the laws of physics are outside their competence. Leslie Marshall, Dennis Kucinich, who ran for the Democratic nomination for president, announced earlier today he's going to investigate the Federal Reserve in large measure to see if they have anything to do with this EU bailout of Ireland. How far will he get? Because Pelosi and company still control the House.
Well, I have to tell you, Judge, left or right, that's not what the American people elected anybody to go to Washington or to stay in Washington to do. So I would say that's not a fiscal responsible decision to the best interests of the United States of America. We also have to look, when we look at Ireland, Judge, that we have non-EU countries such as the UK putting their money in, because I agree with panelists here, this is about bailing out banks, which is exactly what America did. So if we say anything, we're the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, the U.S. banks have exposure to Europe as well, but the issue is fiscal austerity. I would say that the Queen, who's for fiscal austerity, is acting more like a Tea Party than some members of Congress.
The Queen is for fiscal austerity. What is she about to spend on her son's
money? I'll tell you, Angela Merkel is acting more like a Tea Partier as well, because she's for fiscal austerity. And then versus some of these congressmen.
Do you think that these European countries resent, reject, wish they hadn't traded in their sovereignty?
I think they absolutely resent it coming, seeing what's happening right now, and they probably, you know, regret it, because basically they're asking to pony up hundreds of billions of euros for a stabilization fund, which they never may see return on when they have gone through their own fiscal austerity and their wage restraints. Paying for hairdressers to retire in Greece at age 50, when you have to retire, say, in Germany at age 62, 65, that would be a problem if I lived in Germany.
Got it. Jacob Sullum, Leslie Marshall, EMAC, thank you for joining
us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
To you too.
We'll see what happens in Ireland.